Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, March the 29th, Pope Francis appeals for prayers for the 38 migrants who died yesterday in a fire on the Mexico-US border. Cardinal Kurt Koch visits Slovakia for the 35th anniversary of the Catholic anti-communist candle demonstration. And Vatican Radio premieres a brand new contemporary interpretation of Joseph Haydn's famous The Seven Last Words of Christ on the Cross. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Todek. Pope Francis had thoughts and requests for prayers for the 38 people who died yesterday in a facility for migrants in Ciudad Juarez, a Mexican city close to the border with Texas. "Let us pray for the migrants who have perished in a tragic blaze," the Pope said during his greetings to Spanish-speaking pilgrims at his weekly general audience in the Vatican. "May the Lord receive them in his kingdom and bring consolation to their families," he added, asking those present to join him in prayer for them. James Bliss has our report on that fire.
68 men were held in the detention center in Ciudad Juarez, which is just across the border from El Paso, Texas. They were from Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Ecuador, Colombia, and Venezuela. Mexico's president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, says some of them started the blaze, setting mattresses alight on learning they would be deported back to their homelands, but stressed they didn't think that would cause this terrible tragedy. Surveillance cameras show two guys running away rather than opening cell doors, as choking smoke made the atmosphere ever more unbreathable. Mexico deports more than 100,000 undocumented migrants annually, but for many more it issues temporary visas which allow them to live and work in Mexico. In the aftermath of this tragedy, U.S. Ambassador to Mexico Ken Salazar says it's a stark reminder to governments concerning the importance of fixing a broken migration system. But it's unlikely that even a tragedy of this magnitude is going to slow or halt the exodus of people from central and southern parts of the Americas to North America, namely the United States of America. For Vatican Radio, James Blair's reporting.
Six people have been killed in the most recent school shooting in the United States. Three of the victims in the attack, which took place in Nashville, Tennessee, were just 9 years old. Pope Francis has sent a telegram to the Bishop of Nashville, Joseph Mark Spaulding. "His Holiness Pope Francis asks you to convey his heartfelt condolences and the assurance of his prayers to all those affected by this senseless act of violence," reads the message, adding that he joins the entire community in mourning the children and adults who died and commends them to the loving embrace of the Lord Jesus. Finally, the telegram says that in the same way, the Holy Father invokes his consolation and strength of the Holy Spirit upon the grieving families and prays that they will be confirmed in their faith in the power of the risen Lord, so as to heal every hurt and to bring good out of unspeakable evil. Pope Francis has also taken steps to show his solidarity with Ukraine. A truckload of medicines, generators and other items which departed Italy on Saturday arrived this morning in Kharkiv, Ukraine. Volunteers prepared the shipment at Rome's Church of Santa Sofia, together with help from the Office of Papal Charities. Thaddeus Jones has more.
At his general audience today in St. Peter's Square, Pope Francis said, "We persevere in prayer and offer our closeness to war-torn Ukraine." The Pope's words are an expression of the constant attention he gives to the country, suffering from war for over a year now. The Pope's concern has often been shared publicly in his appeals for peace and bringing humanitarian aid. The latest help arrived in Kharkiv this morning with a truck loaded with generators, food, and medicines that left Rome's Church of Santa Sofia last Saturday. It's a meeting point for the Ukrainian community in Italy. Since the beginning of the war, the Church has taken to heart the needs of the Ukrainian families back home, efforts that have united them in their common desire to help in the face of the tragedy of this conflict. The Pope asked that his almoner's office, called the Dicastery for the Service of Charity, help coordinate and prepare the shipment. Cardinal Konrad Krajewski, prefect of the Dicastery for the Service of Charity, said he wishes to thank all the drivers who, with courage and in the face of adversity, have managed to arrive in Ukraine, thus reaching their destination. He said it's a mission that must be carried out with caution and care, because the war is not over and the bombing and fighting continue. He concludes that only when this shipment was delivered was he able to make this known, and one must continue to offer help and pray for the tormented nation of Ukraine. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
Christian communities in the Holy Land have been suffering from increasing attacks in recent months. the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, says that the Church will not allow a few extremists to dictate its agenda and will continue to promote peace and reconciliation. Attacks targeting churches, cemeteries and Christian properties, in addition to physical and verbal abuse against Christian clergy by extremists of different faiths, have become an almost daily occurrence in recent times and have increased significantly since the formation of the new far-right coalition government led by Benjamin Netanyahu. Lisa Zengarini reports.
Amid ongoing protests in Israel over Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's controversial judicial reform and continuing tensions between Israeli forces and Palestinians, Christian communities in the Holy Land continue to be targeted by religious extremists. The latest incident occurred on March the 26th in Nazareth, where a young man reportedly entered a Maronite church during Mass and asked the vicar to recite the Koran. The incident was preceded by two raids against two Catholic schools in the city and by an attack by two radical Israeli men against the Church of Gethsemane in East Jerusalem on March the 19th. Christian holy places have come under attack several times recently. Targets have included Catholic and Greek Orthodox buildings. Several priests and religious have also reported frequent harassment and verbal violence. Church leaders have repeatedly called on Israeli authorities to take concrete measures against the perpetrators. Commenting on these events, the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, Archbishop Pier Battista Pizzaballa, said that the church is concerned but not intimidated by extremists. "We won't allow a few criminals to dictate our agenda, as we are something bigger than the hate of these people," the Patriarch told Radio Maria, reiterating that the Church is determined to continue seeking interreligious cooperation for peace. I am Lisa Zengarini.
Cardinal Kurt Koch, the Prefect of the Dicastery for Promoting Christian Unity, is in Slovakia from the 27th to the 30th of March, that's until tomorrow, for the anniversary of the anti-communist candle demonstration. Christopher Wells tells us more.
The candle demonstration, organized on March 25th, 1988 by Catholic dissident František Mikloško, was the first mass public expression of resistance to communism in the former Czechoslovakia since the 1960s. On that date, some 5,000 protesters gathered in Hviezdoslav Square in Bratislava with candles in their hands, protesting against the Czechoslovakian government's repression of the church. The peaceful demonstration was violently suppressed by the police, who first used water cannon before attacking those gathered with batons and sticks. The protest, which Vatican Radio played a role in organizing, was a significant moment in Slovak history, often credited with influencing the following year's Velvet Revolution. During his visit this week, Cardinal Koch is meeting with religious figures from Slovakia's various Christian churches, as well as with political leaders, including Slovak Prime Minister Eduard Heger. The Cardinal's first stop in the country was the eastern city of Košice, where he stayed for a day and a half. While there, he visited cathedrals of the Orthodox, Latin Catholic, and Greek Catholic churches, meeting with representatives of each one of those communities. Also on the agenda was a meeting with the mayor of Košice, as well as a visit to the sanctuary of Klokočov and to the Museum of the Victims of Communism. On Wednesday, Cardinal Koch traveled to the city of Prešov and visited its university. While there, he will also meet with Metropolitan Ratislav, the primate of the Czech and Slovak Orthodox Church, and with the Prime Minister. Following these meetings, he will travel to Bratislava, the nation's capital. On Thursday, March 30th, the Cardinal will participate in the ceremony for the 35th anniversary of the candle demonstration. Cardinal Koch will then attend a meeting of the Slovak Ecumenical Council and a symposium on Jewish-Christian relations before traveling back to Rome in the evening. I'm Christopher Wells.
During his weekly general audience in the Vatican this morning, Pope Francis said that St. Paul's conversion teaches us that it is never too late to let Jesus completely change and transform our lives. The Holy Father was continuing with his series of catecheses on apostolic zeal, choosing to focus this week specifically on the figure of St. Paul. Deborah Castellano-Lobov reports.
St. Paul's conversion teaches us that it is never too late to let Jesus Christ completely change and transform our lives. Pope Francis offered these comforting words during his Wednesday general audience, telling the faithful it is never too late to start over with Christ when we welcome Jesus and his life-changing power actively into our lives. Continuing his series of catecheses on apostolic zeal, the Pope said he would be focusing on different individuals who gave exemplary witness of what passion for the gospel means. sins, choosing to focus this and next week on St. Paul, who became a new creation. He said that when Jesus enters St. Paul's life, everything changes, and that Jesus had this effect on all the saints.
Cristo converte il suo zelo.
St. Paul had converted his zeal from the law to the gospel, a zeal that first wanted to destroy the church, but later would build it up. We can ask ourselves, what happened? What changed in Paul? In Paul's case, what changed him was not a mere idea or conviction. It was the encounter with the risen Lord that transformed his whole being. Paul's humanity, passion for God and glory, the Holy Father said, is not annihilated, but transformed and converted by the Holy Spirit. Paul's zeal remains, but becomes the zeal of Christ. The Holy Father stressed that Jesus concretely can transform us and our lives if we let him. St. Paul himself said, "Whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come."
Se uno è in Cristo, è una nuova creatura, ti cambia da dentro. L'incontro con Gesù Cristo ti cambia da dentro.
I'm Deborah Castellano Lubov.
And just in the last few moments, we've heard that Pope Francis has been checked into the Gemelli Hospital here in Rome for routine checks. This is according to a statement from the Holy See Press Office. This story is developing, obviously, and there'll be more information available on our website as it becomes available. But we're hearing that it's just for routine checks at the moment. Now, also in the Vatican, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" These are the words that Jesus cried out as he died on the cross. His dramatic cry resonates with Christians across the world as they commemorate his crucifixion, on Good Friday and reflect on how Jesus gave his life so that we might be saved. They are the words. These words are the inspiration at the heart of Joseph Hayden's "The Seven Last Words of Christ on the Cross," commissioned for a Good Friday service in 1786. They are also at the heart of the composer Marcello Filotei's contemporary interpretation of Hayden's masterpiece, a meditation on humanity's current sense of loss, bewilderment, and need for resurrection and hope. As Linda Bordoni reports, the work, which is commissioned by Vatican Radio, was presented at our headquarters earlier today.
Entitled simply Seven, Marcello Filotei's rereading of Haydn's oratorio comes to life in the sonorities provided by the percussions of the Ars Ludi Ensemble that, the composer explains, reflect the noise and chaos of today's world. An electronic score and the voice of cantor Patrizio La Placa, a baritone who sings with the Pontifical Sistine Chapel Choir, complete the oeuvre. The cutting-edge work commissioned and realised by Vatican Radio's music programme, to whom the composer belongs, echoes Haydn's work in many ways, including the fact that it sets the stage for Easter week and will be launched as a world premiere at 1 minute after midnight, Vatican time, on the 2nd of April, Palm Sunday. Presenting the work at Vatican Radio, Filotei spoke of its genesis and of how being at the radio with its over 50 different language sections inspired and guided him. It was the day Russia invaded Ukraine, he said, and he was moved to see how the members of the Russian program immediately reached out to their Ukrainian colleagues to say how sorry they were. Then, he added, he witnessed a steady flow of solidarity pouring into the Ukrainian program as journalists, technicians and other staff all knocked on the Ukrainian door to give their support. Thus, the work's last movement, The Earthquake, is a juxtaposition of Haydn's original score, the percussions as a backbone, and the voices of Vatican Radio's journalists.
And sorry, we've decided to interrupt that last report there as we're running to the end of the time we have available. But thank you very much, and we'll see you next time. Cheers. Goodbye.